Praise the Lord, family, and welcome to another Gift of Life show. And good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, or good night, wherever you are. I am so glad you have chosen to join in and listen to another episode on Satan's six lies and his five I wills. Now, this is my second lie that I'm going to share about Satan from Tony Evans' book titled God Cannot Be Trusted and Five Other Lies of Satan. And the second lie, we looked at the first one, and you need to go back and listen to them. The first one was that Satan does not want anybody to believe that he exists. And the second lie we're going to look at in three parts. This is the first part. God is holding out on you. Now, my whole thing is, in all this series, is that I want us to understand and grasp by the power of the Holy Spirit that Satan thinks, speaks, words come out of his mouth, and they come to steal, kill, and destroy. And if human beings believe him, then it turns into sin in our actions. And sin causes us to be separated from the living, intimate, loving God who speaks just the opposite. Love, because God is love, right? 1 John 4:8 and 16. But let me read a few statistics here I have about our thought life. I just want us to think about what we're thinking about and see where those thoughts come from, analyze them, and then make a choice to choose life and not death. And death just simply means separation for that moment or that hour or that year or that decade that you've been thinking about the same old thing, thinking about the hurts in the past and the way you were brought up and the things that you weren't given and mistreatments that happened and abuses that's happened or neglects, whatever it is that's wounded you to cause you to think over and over and over and over and over until maybe you had to get a pill just to get you through the day. I want you to think all it is a negative, toxic, demonic thought that you've chosen to believe and adopt, and it is releasing the death. Death is poison, it's decay, it's toxic. And releasing those toxic thoughts that are affecting your brain and your body and your perception of how much God loves you and how he's forgiven you. And he does not see you the way Satan wants you to see yourself, especially if you're a born-again believer. And if you're not, you still were created in his image. But in order to experience that relationship with God forever and ever, you need to be born again and let him create a new spirit in you so that you'll have the power in your spirit to change your thought life, your will, your emotions. Remember, we're spirit, soul, and body, and our brain is part of our body. Our soul and our body and our brain did not get born again when we became believers, but our spirit did. But now we have the power to renew our mind by the Word of God and experience that relationship that gives you true joy and peace and love. So this is what I'm all about. But unfortunately, as you'll see as we read Tony Evans' book, many believers he even sees have not grasped this truth. And this is what I'm about. But let me read a little bit, some statistics here from my coach, Dr. Caroline Lee. Every day, scientists are discovering that precise pathways by which changes in human consciousness produces changes in our brain and body. See, our brain is not the same as our soul. Our soul is invisible. But our brain you can see and the body you can see. So everything begins in the invisible spiritual realm. Our consciousness, that's the invisible part, and our non-conscious, that's the invisible part. This phenomenal gift that God has given us to be able to think activates genes and changes our brain. Scientists show that our thoughts with their embedded feelings, first there's thoughts and then there's feelings, turn sets of genes on and off in complex relational ways. And remember, I talked in episodes past that the first thought that came from Satan was a lie. Adam and Eve choose to believe it, and fear. That was the emotion that came from that lie. And then Cain and Abel. Abel did right, Cain didn't. And Cain chose to ignore God and got angry. So anger came in and caused him to murder his brother, which came from Satan. But Cain had the power to choose. God was right there, offering him the alternative to choose God and do right. So We may have fixed genes in our chromosomes, but which of these genes and actives and how they are acted on has a great deal to do with how we think and process our experiences. Listen to this. Our thoughts produce words and behavior, which in turn stimulates more thinking and choices to build more thoughts, and it's an endless cycle. I love this one. I say this a lot. We have around 100 trillion dendrite-looking trees in our brain, and each one is capable of growing 70,000 branches. This means we have approximately 3 million years worth of storage space for information in our brain. Our brain's ability is so great that it is impossible to be used up in our lifetime. I love that one because that gets rid of all the excuses about memorizing, meditating, and mouthing God's words. And then I always use the actors, worldly actors, or just any actors. They have to memorize their script before they get before that camera and that movie gets produced. They do it for the money, for the most part, the worldly people. How much more should us believers memorize God's scriptures? We have the ability. Positive emotions evolve out of faithful thoughts, and negative emotions evolve out of fearful thoughts. Studies by the American Medical Association found that stress is a factor in 75% of all illness and diseases that people suffer today. You know, there's three levels of stress. The first level is normal, fight or flight. But if you continue to worry and you're anxious and it just gets deeper and deeper, then it goes to level two and three, and that's when it becomes toxic. Okay? And it says, the association between stress and disease is a colossal 85%. Here's the last one. The International Agency for Research on Cancer and the World Health Organization have concluded that 80% of cancers are due to lifestyles and thoughts and not genetic. This is a conservative number. I just had to read that to you. Now listen, I want to tell you something else too, brothers and sisters, you that are in the Word of God. Whenever you see the word heart in the Bible, realize it's not that when God is, you got to look at the context, but almost 9 out of 10 cases, it's not talking about the heart pump that pumps blood through our body. It's not talking about the physical heart. It's an analogy that the scriptures are using to help us to see how important that the heart is to the body, as is our heart, our mind, which the heart is being referred to as how important our mind is. So when you say guard your heart, for the issues of life come from it, Proverbs 4:23 is talking about guarding your mind. So think about that. When you see that word heart, don't think physical, don't think like, oh, whatever. It is your soul that he's telling you to guard that, because it's your mind from your new spirit that's going to produce and accept the thoughts to make you to respond and behave the way you do. So that's important. Okay, Satan doesn't want you to know that. So first of all, he wants you to know that he doesn't exist. Second of all, he wants you to think that God is holding out on you. Now, I'm reading from Tony Evans' book. Let me start off with John 10:10. Most of us know this. The thief come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that he might give you life and have life more abundantly. Sadly, a lot of believers today live their lives as if God's commandments are just commandments that want to control them or to keep them from enjoying life or giving up things that they have to give up and are telling them what they need to do and not do. That doesn't sound like an abundant life, does it? No. But when Jesus said that he came to give abundant life, he meant that he came to give us and provide us a way to live in an intimate fellowship with the living God. I mean, how more abundant can you get? To know that you're having a relationship with the living God in your own personal private time. And when you go out into the public, God is right there with you, leading and guiding you through his spirit. That is all the time you're in his presence. Because one, you know your position with Christ. Two, you're experiencing his power working through you. Three, you're performing the way he wants you to perform. You're staying in your lane. And four, you're always aware of his presence. He wants you to enjoy this exciting, joyous, victorious life and live a life that reflects Jesus himself. Isn't that beautiful? So what's the problem? If that's what it is, what's the problem? Well, like I said, Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we know who that thief is, the devil. And that's his main objective, for you and me to steal our joy. Oh my gosh, the scriptures say the joy of the Lord is our strength. That means the joy of God is your motivation that lets you move. It's the motivation of God's love. That's what Galatians 2:20 says. that I'm, Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, yet it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, that's the joy of the Lord that's in our soul that we are to guard and protect. But the enemy, he wants to rob us from that by getting us to focus on anything and everything other than the Word of God. Now, let me read this verse here, right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. I'm going to read from the New English. We do not use human weapons to fight God's war. Instead, we use the weapons that come from God. These weapons are powerful enough to destroy the enemy's strong places. With these weapons, we destroy wrong ideas that people think. Now look at verse 5. We pull down every high thing that tries to stop people from knowing God. With these weapons, we take hold of every thought and we bring them to the obedience of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? So we're talking about the thoughts. And this is where Satan wants us to adopt his thoughts, focus on him and what he says rather than what God says. For instance, the devil did this temptation with Eve. And we talked about that in the last episodes, that he got inside her head. He put his lies and got her to thinking, she accepted it, that God's commandment was backwards. Basically, the first thing he came out of his mouth was that, did God really say, you shall not eat of any tree? That was it. He said, did God really say that? And you know, and the thing is, notice this, the devil, remember we talked about what his name meant. The devil means he's a false accuser and a slanderer, and Satan means he is our enemy and adversary. And you can see that in Romans 12:9. But the very thing he began to attempt and begin to doubt and put doubt in Eve's mind was quoting the Word of God, more or less. And that's one of his favorite tricks. He loves to take God's word, bend it, twist it, and form it to a way that'll meet his evil needs. And we talked about that when I was reading Psalms 91. Even though I didn't open up with it today, I got it right here. But remember in Psalms 91 and Matthew 4, 1 through 11, right there, he was tempting Jesus. I talked about that. He was tempting Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. And he quoted 11 and 12 in Psalms 91, but he omitted this one, 13. You shall tread upon the lions and the cobras, the young lions and the serpents you shall trample underfoot. See, he knew better than to say that. He was just testing and twisting the Word of God to see what Jesus would do. And Jesus said, it is written. He just spoke the Word right back to him. And that's what we've got to learn to do, brothers and sisters. We got to learn to not engage in these long conversations like Eve did in the Word of God or with the enemy, with the Word of God. If God's Word said it, that's what it means. But Satan loves to twist God's Word for his own purpose. So, because God said, this is what God said, from every tree in the garden you may freely eat. From any tree in the garden you may freely eat. That's in Genesis 2:16. But Satan says, has God indeed said that you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? See, that's backwards. So he twists it and he turns it around and just comes out with a big old lie. But you know what? That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to focus on the negative. He wants us to see our cup half full. He wants us to realize that there's restrictions and look at God. He's holding something back from you. He doesn't want the best for you. Satan wanted to get Eve's eyes off of the goodness of God and the provision, and he wants to do the same thing with us. Get us off looking at that our cup is half full and running over in Christ Jesus. And you know what? But she looked at the cup as half empty, and she decided that she would believe the enemy, and you know what happens. So that's his whole trick. I just want to help you to see that Satan wants you to look at what you don't have. But I believe you should count your blessings each and every day. You know that. I've been doing this for almost 42 days now, writing down every day in my journal three things that I'm thankful for. After I write my journal, then I write three things that I'm thankful for when I wake up in the morning. And you might want to start doing that. Okay, I'm telling you, by being thankful and being grateful and having a grateful attitude, and the first thing in the morning, like I read those statistics, it does these chemical reactions and these electronical reactions that God's wired our mind to send to our brain to produce these different hormones, positive hormones in our body. That's why they connect sickness a lot with toxic thoughts, because you think toxic thoughts, you're going to send toxic signals to your brain and it's going to produce toxic chemicals to your body. So it's important to wake up with an attitude of being grateful, being thankful, and not getting focused on what you don't have or what somebody else has and getting jealous, just like Cain did, was jealous with Adam because his sacrifice wasn't accepted by God because he didn't choose to do it God's way. So who should he be mad at, if anybody? Himself. But see, the enemy doesn't want us to experience the goodness of God. So his lies are here to steal, kill, and destroy. And he hasn't changed since the garden. He is still the same today. But we have the power, those that believe God and trust God, we have the power to overcome those lies. So this lie that Satan gave in the very beginning caused the whole entire human race to fall. And I mentioned that in Romans 5:12, that we inherited that that bent, that fallenness, that old man, that old nature. We inherited that. And it's sad to see that many believers today still don't realize how that they have a brand new nature. Anyone is in Christ. When they're born again, if anyone is in Christ, they are a brand new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And in Colossians says, you are complete in him. You have everything that you need and that pertains to life and godliness to be all that God wants you to be. But Satan is still saying that God is holding out on you. And because you don't spend enough time with God, possibly, you will believe that. And sometimes he'll get people to think that even being a Christian isn't all that. All this Christianity stuff, I mean, you know, I don't see anything going on in my life. And so they end up blaming God, and people end up walking away from the word, stop hanging around believers. And sadly, for a lot of these people, they just move God out of their head. They just, you know, they just go through the motion of religion, basically, rather than this vibrant relationship that God would want to have with people. So let me keep reading here on Tony's book here. He's got, let's see what he says here. He says, this lie worked on Eve. And he says, I think it's safe to say it works on many of us at some point in our walk with Jesus. Many of the unmarried people in my church are good examples of this. Instead of looking for all the privileges and rights and joys and opportunities of being single that's been given to them, so many single Christians focus instead on what they can't have righteously. A lot of these brothers and sisters are miserable, impatient people who are downright angry at God. They believe he is moving too slow and he has forgotten them and he's holding out on them. So he's talking about singles in his congregation that basically settle for less. And you know, that just means they're going for somebody else that God didn't bring. And that means trouble. Or they're giving up. You know what I'm talking about. They're just not waiting on God's perfect mate for them. So if you're single out there, hold on. Wait out for what God wants to bring you. And God has a plan. He has a standard. You know what it is. You don't have sex before marriage. That's number one. And you want to make sure that that person is a believer, spiritual filled believer that's got fruit, not just saying it. You know, because I love that verse in Matthew 23. It says right here, Jesus was telling people, don't believe these lies. He called them hypocrites. For you clean the outside of the cup of the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. He called them blind guides. Clean the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside may be clean also. So don't look at singles. Don't look at, or anybody, don't look at if they drive a fancy car, if they dress really nice, and they smell really good, and they look really good. Don't judge the outside. Grandma used to say that. Don't judge a book by its cover, which I'm in the process of writing a book called Granny Sayings, because they're really wise. And you don't want to do that. And this is what Jesus is saying, basically. You know, God doesn't look at the outside. He doesn't judge by the appearance. That's what he told Samuel. After Saul had fallen and he was looking for David, the next king, he says, I don't look at the appearance. He says, man looks at the appearance. I judge the heart. And what he's talking about is your heart pure before God. Have you been born again? Are you totally sold out for God? Are you ready for him to move in your life? That's what he's looking for. Because in our righteousness and in our heart's desire, if you want to use that term, he said in Isaiah 64:6 that that's like filthy rags, minstrel rags. It's filthy. There's nothing that we can do to be accepted by God. Just like Cain, there was nothing he could do to be accepted by God except do what God said. But he chose not to and murdered his own brother. So, if we're going to counteract the lies that God is holding out on us, we need to understand the relationship between the freedoms and restrictions God has given us. Specifically, we need to understand that restrictions actually lead to even more freedom. Wow. He says, I know it sounds like a contradiction. Restrictions lead to more freedom, you're asking. How could that be? Bear with me, he says. So, why did God put restrictions on Adam and Eve? Why couldn't Adam and Eve eat from all the trees in the garden if they wanted to? Why did God put the big knot in there? If the fruit of the tree looked good and so tasty in Genesis 3:6, tells us it did, why didn't they eat the fruit too? And he says, read on and you'll find out. He goes, why not? Those of us who live in the United States live in the finest nation on earth. We have more freedom and more options here than any other nation that has ever existed. All you have to do is realize that by traveling to other parts of the world and see how people live, in many countries everywhere, people do is controlled by the government. There is no freedom to choose much of anything. Listen to that. We better be thankful about that, aren't we? Praise the Lord. He says, but as free as we are in the United States, our freedom is tempted by some limitations and restrictions, controlled by some limitations and restrictions. In the Western thinking, we often struggle with the idea that being told there are things we should not do actually enhances our freedom. We don't see limitations as having anything to do with our freedom, but that's exactly what our laws are designed to do. For example, I know that if I drive through a red light, I lose my freedom to drive safely and take that same freedom from others, right? Every spot has its rules and limitations. Participants must follow. Every sport has its rules and limitations that participants must follow. A basketball player is free to play his own game, but he also has to do it between the sidelines and the end lines. And even when he strays between those lines, he is free to play his game only if he follows the rules. He can't foul his opponent, and he can't run with the ball without dribbling it, just to name a few. If he steps out of bounds with the ball, there are consequences. And one of those consequences is the loss of freedom to do what he wanted to do in the game. See? So Tony is just talking about that. He's giving these examples, letting us see that there has to be, with freedom, there has to come limitations. Otherwise, everybody's just going to do what they want to do. And to do that in this world is not wise. Hey, time is out. I'm so sorry. I got to go. I love you. This is part one. And remember, Satan is a liar and the father of it. Believe God's truth. Love you.
I decided to write a song about my worst enemy. What's his name? Satan. And I'm warning you that he hates you. He wants to kill you. And I really don't know what he's saying to you right now. But we want to tell you this. Don't believe it. Don't receive it.
Don't receive it.
Because
the devil is lying to you.
He's lying to you.
Again.
And watch this. He's trying to tempt you.
He's trying to tempt you.
He knows what makes you weak. Yes, he does. He knows exactly what's on your menu. The devil
is lying
to you
again.
See, he's the father of lies. He's the Father. He's the Father of lies. I don't know what else to tell you, but He's the Father of lies. See, He wants to come across like He's your friend.
He seems so friendly.
But don't get it twisted, He's the enemy.
But He's the enemy.
I'll say it again. The devil.
The devil is lying to you.
He's lying to you.
Again.
Remember the word God gave you?
The word God gave you.
This is what the devil does. He's trying.
He's trying.
To steal it.
To steal it.
Lying to you.
Again.
Keep your word, my brother, my sister. And He's messing with your mind. But I'm begging you, my brother, my sister, please don't give in this time. Come on and be strong. He hates you. He wants to kill you. He's the Father of life.